talked about this time of the year where the sun's 32 degrees today, Tim. Some people, for the first time since winter, are going to disrobe. They're going to get into some shorts.
I don't know.
They're going to get into a T-shirt. They're going to go, oh, my Lord, what's happened? So look, just for a month, just to sharpen up their diet and their nutrition might be the difference between having a good summer or not.
Well, we're still getting conflicting views about diet and what we should or shouldn't eat, or whether or not we should go on these diets. And there's a video out at the moment that everyone's talking about, which is the vegan diet.
Well,
so everybody's only going on these plant-only type diets, which I don't know whether it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing, but I know this person will know whether it's right
or wrong. Well, thank you. Finally, we got to Lauren Chambers. I don't really want to talk to you. I want to speak to Lauren. Currently, the Vic Institute of Sport was at Melbourne for a while. You're at Richmond for a while. Great to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Can you help us out in this particular area? 0433 98 11 16 or 1300 736 736. You've got access to an elite diet and nutrition. And we're not just talking sport here, Lauren. We're going to talk general day-to-day life. Is that okay?
Yeah, totally fine.
Can you dispel any myths and fads that are out there at the moment that we should just, if you're thinking about doing this, just park it straight away?
Probably the biggest thing, if any sort of fad diets, I guess, anything that's not sustainable, anything that's cutting major food groups or that's, you know, super strict, is not going to be sustainable long-term.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as dietitians, we're all about something that's going to be a sustainable lifestyle change. So if cutting out meat and going vegan is something that's not going to be lifelong, I guess there's no point in starting it. A lot of these sorts of diets, they do work in the short term. You see results, people get motivated, but, you know, after a month, it's not something that they can continue with. The other thing is lacking a lot of nutrients. Depending on what sort of fad diet you're following, for example, the vegan diet, you can do it properly, but if you don't do it properly, you know, your proteins, your calciums, B12.
Athletes can do all that because they got time and they're invested, but people, busy people who are working, what's the latest one we talked about? What's the leaf?
The plant diet.
So that's, I mean, is this realistic and does it work?
Depending what you, I guess, following it for, in terms of following it to be healthier,
mm-hmm.
No, not necessarily. You can follow, if you're following it for ethical reasons or environmental reasons, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd advise you to speak to a professional to ensure that you're doing it properly. But if not done properly, which I guess when people aren't educated on it and they just dive straight into it, it is lacking a whole bunch of nutrients, as I mentioned. And so you can become, you know, iron deficient, not having enough protein, B12 deficient. So not necessarily healthier, no.
What about if you're a bit fat, right? This is what we're going to get to. If you're a bit fat at this time of the year.
How fat are you talking about, though? What's a bit fat?
Well, it's all relative to your body size and shape.
If you put on a couple of kilos over the winter.
100%. I got fat for sure.
And well, I didn't want to mention it, but you've done something about it, which is a good thing.
It's okay, and it's fine. This is what I'm saying. I'm very much in this in this category where over the winter you just, you know.
You stack it on a bit.
What should they be doing now, Lauren, people, if they just want to make a start?
Full-fat cappuccino. We've just been delivered from
the cafe.
The cafe.
I'd advise to set some realistic goals. As I said before, don't just dive straight into cutting your carbs out, because realistically we're going into the Christmas season. You know, there's functions, there's social events, and you don't want to have to remove yourself from those.
Well,
so
we might have to.
So it's all about just being conscious and, you know, going out and enjoying yourself but not overdoing it. A lot of people do find that hard, but that is, you know, the best way. Coming into Christmas, it's unrealistic to start dropping kilos, because they say the average Australian gains 3 kilos over the Christmas period.
That's why we've got you in.
Three kilos?
Short circuit this.
So, my advice is always over the Christmas period, don't start trying to lose weight right now.
Right.
You know?
Even in this month leading up, in December?
Well, in the month leading up, you can make a start, but just I always recommend just, you know, pick realistic goals. It might be just reducing your alcohol, or you think, okay, well, that's probably not doable at this point in the year, but I might start reducing, you know, how many cakes I'm eating, that sort of thing. So picking, or exercising more. So picking a few things that you know that is achievable and starting with that. Just don't go too hard at it.
Lauren, there's a text come through here. This is basically where I wanted to get to today. I'm male, I'm 45, I'm 105 kegs, and I cannot move the weight. I walk 5 kilometres every day. Help. What can you say to this person?
I'd say looking at your portion sizes, looking at the types of foods that you're eating, the frequency that you're eating.
Is 5 kilometres of walking, this is what I've learned. What goes into your gob and then how hard you train. That's how I want to strip it back a bit. So if he watches what he eats, but 5 kilometres of walking every day, you're not going to move at 45 years of age.
Well, not if he's downing a litre of Coke at morning tea or drinking sugary drinks in that time. I reckon it's hard for a lot of people, but the easiest thing you can do to lose weight is to cut out sugary drinks.
Absolutely.
That's one of the easiest things you can do.
That's good. Number one.
It's one of the easiest things you can do. And then the next thing is maybe, you know, monitor how many carbs you have and, you know, how often you have your carbs and mixing up your diet, that type of thing. That's what you're talking about, really, is just sensible, balanced diets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, with the sugary drinks thing, that's an easy thing. And for the majority of us, yes. But I guess, you know, you might have someone that's like really, really addicted to sugary drinks and their realistic goal might be to cut down on the McDonald's,
right?
Or to cut down on the... So it's just finding what's realistic for you, but watching your liquid intake, because that's easy calories in, is definitely a big one. Even coffees, you know, having...
Oh, no.
Let's not cut back on the coffee.
No. This is what we need to know. What about coffee? Because people will go, what's wrong with coffee? What are you going to tell us about coffee?
Oh, nothing's wrong with coffee. And, you know, having two a day is perfectly healthy, 2 to 3. But it's if you're having the milky ones, you know, if you're having 3 of those every day, 7 days a week, that's added extra calories, you know, for the average person that's trying to watch their weight.
Mm.
And you don't even realise it. You wouldn't count it as, well, that's
so part the of my intake. The milk in a cappuccino or the milk in a latte, for instance.
Yes.
What about if you're having a skinny one? What are you laughing at, Liz?
It's going to be slightly lower in calories and fat, but at the end of the day, if you're still having several over the day, it's the accumulative
effect.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so I come to you and I say, look, Lauren, I'm addicted to sugary drinks. I have, you know, soft drink all day. What do you say to me as a compromise to that? How do I wean myself off that?
I'd start by saying, you know, how many are you having? And let's reduce it by, you know, say someone's having 3 cans, let's reduce it to two cans.
Right.
Don't
start drinking something as an alternative. Is there an alternative that you can turn to that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Diet Coke.
Yeah. I mean, I don't recommend drinking bucket loads of Diet Coke, but to start the transition, you know, going to the diet version is going to reduce the calorie and the sugar intake. So if you are the average person that's overweight or has got diabetes and that sort of thing, that's a perfect alternative. Eventually, you know, water is the best option, but you can jazz water up. You know, you can have soda water and lemon in and that sort of thing. I know it doesn't sound that appetizing.
It's great after what? That's exactly what I do, though. I've gone the bubbly water and I've just put a little squeeze, a little twist of lemon in there, and I'm as happy as Larry.
You swear by that, Whisper?
I do. I love it. I get gallons of it.
Soda Stream. Perfect.
Soda Stream for Christmas.
Yeah.
Great idea.
That is a great idea. We're going to put down our ultimate Christmas gift list too. So let's just write Soda Stream down. Francis is from Bulleen, wants to talk to you. Lauren Chambers, the VIS dietitian's here. G'day, Francis.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
That's good. Just ringing. I was starting to put on quite a bit of weight and started to develop a bit of high blood pressure, and the doctor wanted to put me on tablets, and I said, no, let me do it by myself, see if I can get my weight down. And since September, lost about 12 kilos just by cutting out sugar, eating sensibly, walking every day, and I'm doing the 16-hour fasting. Ooh. Each day.
Tell us about that.
Each day.
What's that, Francis?
So you just eat in an 8-hour period. So, and eat sensibly. I don't eat any rubbish or anything anymore, just fruit, vegetables, meat, a little bit of carbohydrates. And so if I finish, say if I have my dinner at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, from 16 hours onwards, I won't have anything but water.
Jeez, that's a good effort, Francis.
Well done. Well done, Francis.
Well done to you, by the way. It can be done. I don't think I could do that. I am an early dinner eater, but then, gee, not having any food for 16 hours.
I mean, that's a really good way to do it, because a lot of people find that snacking at night is the biggest issue.
Yes.
So I guess, you know, if you're doing something like that, that's going to reduce the snacking at night, which reduces your overall calories, which is great. Again, it's the sustainability, as you said, Gary. If you can't do it long term, then, you know, you lose all the weight initially, but, you know, Christmas comes up, Christmas dinners and that sort of thing. And then you can find yourself sort of creeping back. And then I often find that people go above what they were in terms of weight. It's called that yo-yoing, where you follow a diet and then you drop the weight, but it's not sustainable. And then you put on the weight again and then put on more.
It's a soy mochaccino. Is that better than a latte?
No, not necessarily. No,
there you go, Schwatter. They're no good for you.
Hey, Laura, you've worked at how many AFL clubs?
Two,
okay.
Look at these messages. If you reckon this is not a topic that people are passionate and interested in, then I'm not here. She's a VIS dietitian, been with the Melbourne Footy Club and Richmond Footy Club. Ask you a very good question again, because we've only got 7 minutes and we want to get it through as much as we can.
Lauren, now the obsession that the current AFL player has with diet and weight loss and that type of thing.
It is surprisingly pretty common in the footy world. A lot of the boys, I mean, that's one of their targets. They need to be lean so that they can be fast and strong. So it is quite a big thing, you know, getting your skin folds done, monitoring the weight. And some of the boys do get quite stressed over it, yeah.
And competitive?
Yes, absolutely.
And you were saying before you've had to ban certain numbers from being there when players have had their skin folds done.
Doing skin folds, sort of only three or four in the room at the time. Otherwise, they all start carrying on. And making each other stressed out. So, yeah, it can be quite funny.
Now, this message just came in. My 17-year-old granddaughter, Lauren, has put herself on a very strict diet of just fruit, vegetables and a little meat. She's cut out all carbohydrates. We're most concerned. Her lunch in school is just fruit, celery and carrot. She stopped taking the little tin of tuna. What do we do? We are very worried. Now, there you go. That is a brand new text message from some grandparents who are worried about their granddaughter. Have you got a message for them?
Yeah, I'd probably have a bit of a chat to her and ask her why she's doing what she's doing, just sort of figure out what the aim is there. But it sounds like seeing a dietitian is probably a good start, and maybe even a psychologist if depending on the reasoning why she's doing it. But I mean,
it is fruit, celery, carrot, a little bit of meat. It doesn't sound to me like it's a disaster. They shouldn't be, like, absolutely worried, should they?
No. I mean, not absolutely worried, but it's more, you know, what is she? Is she missing out on calcium?
Sure.
Is she cutting out dairy, that sort of stuff? I'm assuming, depending how old she is, she's probably still growing, more than likely still growing. So it's super important to be getting, you know, particularly calcium and iron in as a female.
Michael's in Langwarrin. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Michael, you got a question for Lauren?
No, it was more of a, I guess, advice for other people. Like I weighed in at about 86 kilos at my heaviest, and I found that my fitness pal was able to create like a food journal, and with that really gave me a lot of information on carbohydrates and things like that, and I was amazed at how much sugar was in like orange juice and things that I thought that was healthy. So over time, I found that it took me about 2 years to wean myself off sugar and minimise my portion controls. I need a lot more vegetables than meat. So from that, I've been able to lose 15 kilos over the last 5 years.
Hey, good on you, Michael.
The MyFitnessPal app is something that I've had a look at as well. So if you don't unaware of how much, you know, the calories in certain foods, this is not a bad way, Lauren, to educate yourself. Because as Michael says, if you haven't played in this space, and we're lucky, we're exposed to it in sport, so we have a bit of an idea. But if you've got no idea about what we're talking about in terms of calories, then this app is not a bad thing. You can scan various foods with this app. You know, if you get the tuna or whatever it is in the supermarket, you go, do I do this? Just scan it and it'll come up and it'll tell you how much, you know, how many grams of fat are in it and all that sort of stuff. It's not a bad way to start, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. I use it a lot with my clients and athletes. We use one called Easy Diet Diary because it's an Australian version.
Mm-hmm.
The MyFitnessPal is American.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, it's great in the sense of it's a food diary and, you know, writing down or typing in what you eat every day can be quite a good activity for people to actually see.
And can you scan the foods with this one?
Yeah, yep. Right. So it'll spit out all the nutritional information. I think the biggest thing is, I mean, it's good to play around with when you're starting out, but I find some people set themselves unrealistic goals again of restricting calories, and they'll come in and see me and say I'm doing, you know, following 1,000 calories a day, and that's you know, not enough. Why are you doing that? Oh, because, you know, someone told me to do that. So I guess playing around with it's great. I mean, it's a great tool.
Educating yourself.
Yeah, educating yourself. But seek advice, you know, from a dietitian, just to make sure that if you know, you're not missing out on certain nutrients, making sure you're getting.
And you can you can modify your diet gradually over time.
Absolutely.
And I think that's sustainable for a lot of people to be able to do that. And then your taste buds change, and you know what you once craved, you no longer crave for.
Spot on. And people tell you this, and you don't believe it. I was a non-believer until I became a believer. You've got to educate. You've got to take responsibility for this yourself. You can't just go, oh, well, I can't do this because, and then you go, okay, well, do you know what sorts of foods? And no. Well, educate yourself. Yep. And the apps are out there.
It's simple. It is so simple to be able to.
It's not simple to lose weight.
No, but it's simple to be able to educate yourself.
Correct. Scott's in Warrigal. G'day, Scotland.
G'day, how are you? Good. First, long-time listener, first-time caller. Right. I've lost 85 kilos since January. Backing up that person before who's about the intermittent fasting and all that. I've gradually built myself down from eating a lot into being able to do that for long periods.
Scotty, that's amazing. Scott, that's an extraordinary amount of weight. So, just by modifying and changing your diet, or did you add some exercise to it as well?
Oh, a lot of exercise. Completely changed. Because I was at 195.
Gee whiz.
And a few medical issues started to happen. Luckily, no diabetes or anything, but I just started slow walking 1 kilometre or 2 kilometres at a time, and now I every morning go for a 10K walk and then go to the gym for an hour and a half.
Mate, that's a great story. Well done. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks to everyone that's been a part of this. It is a topic that we don't do enough on, Tim. I say this is our responsibility, not responsibility, but the want and the need is out there. You can see straight away. So, Lon, thank you for coming in. We may call on your services again.
No problems. Thanks for having me, guys.
And Lauren Chambers is the name. People say, who is this very intelligent young lady? Lauren Chambers from the VIS. So it's great to have you in.